It's helped pull me too.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got people signing on, so we'll go ahead and start just a quick roll call. I'll start, and then I'll go ahead and ask you guys all to introduce yourselves. So we'll go in some sort of order. I'm Alicia Sharmet. I am one of the co-chairs. I represent the Fisheries Advisory Council on the advisory group. Josh, why don't you go ahead and go next?
Josh Kanzler, the other co-chair. I represent small utilities and the Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority.
Pat?
Pat Carney, Manchester Water and Sewer.
Denise?
Hi, Denise Savageau, Connecticut Association of Conservation Districts.
Jack?
Jack.
Good afternoon. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Jack Bukowski's with you again.
Jeff, we have our newest member with us today for the first time. So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Alicia. Good afternoon, everyone. Jeff Pugliese here. Vice President with the Middlesex County Chamber of Commerce. My role, as I understand it, is to represent the business community as best I can. This is my first meeting, so I look forward to learning and being a constructive partner to all of you as best I can. I must admit I have to switch over to the phone in a few minutes here and lead a chamber webinar, but I will participate as best I can, and I plan to make sure to be a really active member moving forward. So thank you for having me, and I look forward to working with
Alicia, if I may, I just want to welcome Jeff. He's a Nautic Valley guy, grew up in the town next door to mine, comes from a great lineage. His dad's a great friend of mine, and I'm thrilled that he's going to be joining the Water Planning Council Advisory Group. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jack. I really appreciate those kind words.
Jonathan?
Jonathan Avery, represent Hazardville and Jewett City Water, which are two small private, privately owned water utilities.
Aaron
Woodruff. I'm with the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, and I represent regional councils of government.
Allie.
My name is Allie Hibbard, and I'm with DEEP in the Water Quantity Unit.
Brenda.
Hi, Brenda Watson here from Operation Fuel, and we provide water and energy assistance grants for struggling households throughout the state.
Corinne?
Hi, Corinne Fitting from Department of Energy and Environmental Protection.
Dan?
Dan Lawrence, Aquarian Water.
Eric?
Hi, Gail Lucina Pura.
Another Cameron with the Connecticut Park Association, and interested obviously in outdoor recreation connections with water company lands as well as public land questions.
Hold on, I'm going to go ahead. Go ahead and mute everybody really quick because we were getting some wind here earlier. Hold on a second. These things are switching around as I go through. John?
Hello. John Hudak, South Central Connecticut Regional Water Authority, a member representing regional water utilities.
Kelsey?
Hi, I'm Kelsey Sudol, Lake Warmoth Task Force Research Assistant. I'm the alternate for Sean Hayden, who's the ED of the task force.
Oh, okay. Martha?
Hi, I'm Martha Smith. I'm with the West River Watershed Association in New Haven. Also, I'm the alternate for Margaret for Rivers and Streams.
Kathy?
Kathy Piedmonte with Pura.
Carol?
Carol Haskins, Pomperog River Watershed Coalition.
Sarah?
Sarah Ridyard with Connecticut Water.
Virginia?
Virginia De Lima, formerly of USGS, and in the slot on the Water Planning Council Advisory Group that encompasses stream flow, ecology, and academia. And I also chair the implementation work group.
Tom? Tom Tyler's here from the MDC. He represents wastewater. I don't know if he's having a hard time finding his mute button. Let's see. There are a few phone numbers here. I know one of them is Bruce. Bruce, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? We're not hearing you again. He was having a hard time unmuting himself.
Oh, this is Bruce.
There you go. Oh, we hear you now, Bruce.
I was writing names.
Oh. is there anyone else that on that or one of the phone numbers here that I don't recognize who are Water Planning Advisory Group members or would just like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I'm Gail Karen. Lucina with Kara.
Oh, Karen, sorry.
That's all right. I'm Karen Burkett, the Water Project's coordinator for Save the Sound, and I represent Watershed Land.
Yes, sorry about that, Karen. I was looking at names on the participant list. Anyone else?
Hi, Gail Lucina with Pura.
Oh, hi, Gail.
Hi, Fred Klein. I joined the call a little bit late. I'm with Pullman and Comley on behalf of the Connecticut Power and Energy Society.
Thanks, Fred. Is there anyone else?
Iris Kaminsky. Oh, yeah. I'm a board member of the Environmental Advisory Council for the City of New Haven. I represent the public. Very dramatic, but.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right. So welcome everyone. And thank you. Just also a reminder, this meeting is being recorded and will be put up on the Water Planning Council website after the meeting is started or after the meeting is completed. Probably might take a couple of days. So the first item is the approval of the April 21st minutes. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at them? Are there any changes, discussion, additions? I'll give everyone a moment.
I make a motion we approve the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'm going to first. Okay, all in favor, do the thumbs up.
Aye.
Or say aye.
Aye.
Are there any abstentions or anyone opposed?
Abstain. John Avery.
Jonathan Avery and Jeff Puglisi abstain. Is that, you got that, Bruce? All right. Great. So now let's move on to the Water Planning Council update. We'll start with the implementation work group update. Virginia?
We had a meeting earlier today and had input from Marianne Dickinson of the Alliance for Water Efficiency on what their plans are for moving forward with the program that they are doing. Some of the questions that Marianne had for us was if we're talking about doing an in-person rates workshop next spring. She really wanted input on who should be involved, where we should have it, and those kinds of logistical things. So we're going to be helping her with those questions. I think it's wonderful that they're starting to work on that. Also, she said that at our next implementation work group meeting a month from now, she was going to be presenting what they have come up with for, just a second, I'm looking at my notes. Oh, they're finishing up their analysis of the state laws and regulations, and they're going to give us an update on the progress on that at the meeting a month from now. And certainly anybody is welcome to join that. It would be at 11:30 in the morning of the same day as we have these advisory group meetings. We heard from our topical subgroups. The drought group has not met yet, but we'll be meeting later on this week, virtually, of course. The domestic well group, as I think you know from previous updates, the Department of Consumer Protection has taken on the job of creating a database for the well drilling information. Two interns at DPH this summer will be working on populating that database with some of the historical information. And then the group is going to look at how they will be morphing, because their original task was to create justification for the well database. Since that's been done, we hope that they will just summarize that to date, so we'll have a record of the work that was done, and then morph into some of the other questions that were brought out of the state water plan, such as the water quality and testing for water quality of private wells, also as appropriate quantity of private wells so that one person's over pumping doesn't cause the problems with their neighbor's well. And so it was acknowledged that that will probably be different expertise needed for that topical subgroup and therefore different people. But the existing group is going to help us craft what will be what the well group will look like in the future. In addition, we talked about starting up two new topical subgroups, one of them looking at how we can better market the state water plan, and the other being looking at issues of regionalization and interconnections as it contributes to resiliency and climate change and drought and supply. Also, as many of you know, that's a WOC interest as well. So we had several individuals volunteered to spend a phone call or two in the next week or so, fleshing out what they thought those two topical work groups might look like, to get back to the implementation work group so that we can make a proposal of that to the Water Planning Council at their next meeting. Also, we finalized a slate of folks to have a two-year term starting last month. That slate currently still has a vacancy in the out-of-stream interest, and we have people reaching out to some of the names that were suggested as possibly being able to fill that position. Our hope is to get somebody representing the agricultural interests, and we are moving forward trying to identify that person to fill in the vacancy on the group.
Anybody have any questions for Virginia? Going once? Going twice? All right. Thank you, Virginia. And congratulations on your reappointment as the Water Planning Advisory Group representative to the Implementation Work Group. So other water planning or state water plan matters, we don't have anything at this time that I can think of. Josh, am I forgetting something under that topic, or Bruce?
No, I can't think of anything under that topic.
Okay.
I don't think there's been a whole lot recently on that.
Moving on to old business, Dan, is there a WOC update? Or anyone else on the call who can give a water utility coordinating committee update?
So this is Dan. I don't know if anybody else is on, but so I know the Eastern right before COVID-19 occurred and when we all went into lockdown, we were getting ready to start work groups implementation. So that got put on hold. So my next task is actually to get a hold of Eric McPhee at the Connecticut Department of Public Health and see where he wants things that we can go. Because I think it would be helpful to get things moving, even if so slowly. I know a lot of people have a lot of calls and meetings, but I think if we can have some level of meeting and try to separate and create some subgroups that could work on things while people are home, it might be helpful. So that's the next step. We are going to try to schedule a Western work meeting. I don't know what the Central is going to do. Not a lot has come across. We just did approve in the Western work a new non-community system, but that came before the WIC previously, so it was just approval of the final phase. So things have been slow overall, but I think I am looking forward to implementation recommendations and working together with the state water plan, which is a little bit stalled probably as well for the same reason as a lot of people are tied up with COVID-19 related matters.
Jonathan, since you're a chair of the Eastern WIC, did you want to speak on that?
Yes. The Eastern WIC is meeting by Zoom on the 27th of May. I believe it's at 1:00. And anybody interested in that? Yes. So we've got that scheduled. And we are going to be electing officers and doing exactly as Dan said, seeing where we need to go next. Support the subgroups and we discussed that at our last meeting is where people's interests were. So we need to sort of reconnect with people about that. So one thing is we're not sure how many people are going to join our Zoom, but we are Zooming on the 27th of May. That's it.
Well, we may be surprised. I mean, we've had some pretty good turnouts with our Zoom advisory group meetings. Anything else on the WOCs?
Thank you.
All right.
Dan and Jonathan. So the next item on the agenda, I'm not sure if any of you clicked through the link to the new Water Planning Council website, but it is up, it is live. It is definitely more up to date than the old website. So you can see the work group and committees has been updated. There's also a file directory. So in this file directory, of course my computer is going to be really slow now. Anyway, there's files. That's going to take a while. So I encourage any of you who had been working are either working on current work groups or have worked in the past on work groups to take a look through there and see if you have any files that are missing from this file directory. This will be a good opportunity for all of us to put all of our historical files in one place. And I believe Eric Lindquist is the point of contact, right, Bruce, as far as getting files to someone? Is that correct?
What I would say, can you hear me?
Yep.
Awesome. That's two times in a row.
Congratulations.
I will be probably taking over the website from Eric at some point. And what I would suggest is if you have anything that belongs up there, send it along to me. If you see things that are missing, send them along. I expect to build a landing page, say for someone who is looking for agendas and minutes so that it looks more like a modern website and not like you're going through, you know, the file directory of your computer. So it should improve somewhat over the long haul, but either send me the file that you think belongs there or tell me that you can't find something, and then I can go find them, and we will try to get that organized in the next month or two. I'm doing the same for another big website, so I will probably handle both at the same time.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Sure.
Yes. Right now, is the Zoom going to be included on the website so that if somebody doesn't get an invite? This is a beautiful invite for today's meeting. But if somebody else didn't get this invitation, would that be on that website so they could join from the website?
Yes, it will be. And honestly, it should also be on the state public meeting calendar for the day. And I don't have it up there. But ordinarily, prior to a meeting, someone should be able to find it both on the water website and on the state meeting website. And the way I've been handling invites and also the post-meeting recordings for my other site is in kind of like a little news item right up front, so people don't have to go hunting. So right up, you know, heading into the meeting, eventually, hopefully next month, you'll see a news item. There will be a meeting. Here is how to connect. And then within a day or two after, there was a meeting. Here's the recording. Minutes and so on will take a little longer, but a recording will usually be available within a day or two.
There's always a link in the agenda as well. So if somebody brings up the agenda, which should be posted at least 24 hours before the meeting, the link will be there in the agenda.
Try to have it visible.
Will it always be the same link information week to month to month, or will it be changing?
It should be the same information.
Okay.
Unless you guys want it to change, then I can make a change. Any other questions? COVID-19 issues for water-related agencies and other entities. We have this on the agenda for everyone to chime in, particularly from the agencies, to let us know if there are any updates on public processes or how your operations are going, particularly around things like permitting, regulated activities. Is there anything that anybody has at this point as far as updates go there?
Alicia, it's Jack.
Yep.
I just want to say, I don't know if everybody's aware of it, but Lori Matthew and her team has weekly, on Thursdays usually, DPH webinars, and they have done an outstanding job keeping public and private water supplies apprised of what's going on within the Department of Public Health, what they should be doing in terms of permits and water quality and deadlines, and it's a weekly thing. It's been around since the whole pandemic hit, so I would urge people, if they're not aware of it, to go on the DPH website and get the time. And they usually last about an hour, 15 minutes, and they're very, very productive.
And that's posted on the DPH website, you said?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Alicia, this is Margaret. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I've been on the phone, but I wasn't being heard. So I put on my clothes and ran downstairs here to the computer. And I am present. I did have a question about the WOCs going back, if I
could. Okay, go ahead.
I had asked Dan, is anybody applying? I asked, and I think he may have answered it. For instance, was the Aquarian Interconnect, did that come to the WOC? And I think Dan may have said, yes, that came earlier. But my interest would be sort of now, I guess new businesses are not starting up, but as we go forward, would the WOCs keep us up to date on who's applying for new permits, assuming assuming that we are following the what used to be the process where applications are supposed to come to the WOOPs first for a new interconnection or a new source, and then go to DPH. So I guess my first question is that still the order of business? And my second is, would the WOOPs keep us updated as new requests come in for new sources?
So Margaret, I did respond. I think we could do updates. I think it would be helpful for everyone to know what's going on. Is there a preferred method? I mean, would it be easy just enough to report out of this meeting, or you want something different than that?
Oh, I don't really care. If you do a WOOC update for this group, if you could just mention or explain issues that came, applications that came to you for new sources or source abandonment or that kind of item that's especially of interest here.
Okay, we can. I'll work with the other chairs to see what we can do to get something monthly put together for this meeting.
Yeah, I guess it's easy now. I don't think anybody's starting up anything.
This is Peter Gallant.
Yeah, like I said before, we only had one in the Western WOOC that was actually before. So
right. Do you anticipate that these requests will come to you before DPH? There was uncertain.
Yes, it is uncertain a little bit. I mean, they should, by the way that the set up, they should come to the WOOC if they're going to have a new water supply.
Okay.
And then they go through a process with DPH, assuming that the WOOC says sounds good. Then the ESA provider has to weigh in on whether they'll provide service or not. And I know that you've had questions about that, but a lot of the ones that come in are, 5 to 10 miles away from, water systems. So the one in Wolcott that just came in is the one that when the water company decides to run the main in front of their property, they're going to disconnect their well and connect to the water system. That was the way that one was set up.
In the past, I've always been interested in the criteria you use for saying, yes, we want to serve you, or no, we're not interested in serving you. Go ahead and develop your own source. So I don't know if other people would have that question, but I'm always curious to know how you decide that. And so far, I've heard sort of 5 miles, if you're more than 5 miles away.
Yeah, no, that's really, if you're, a lot of these facilities that are coming in are like Dollar Generals and it's small daycares that probably have average water usage, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 gallons a day, and some of them a couple hundred gallons a day. Even if it was 1,000 feet away, it would not be affordable. That is one of the challenges that overall, there's no process financially for someone, for a water company or a developer to seek funding to,
right,
bridge that.
No, I understand that. So do you think that automatically would be picked up in the private well data? So you tell a dollar store, we have a beautiful one in Morris. You tell a dollar store, we're not interested in serving you. And I guess they go to DPH then. And then is that data currently on current things? Is that being picked up by the by the state, the consumer?
Well, yeah, they go through the whole certificate process as a non-community. So they get that's all documented through DPH.
Right. Okay, thanks, Dad.
Yep.
Peter, I saw you trying to chime in there. Oh, yep, you raised your hand. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, thank you. For a point of clarification, Margaret, you mentioned new sources and source abandonments. New sources and source abandonments or interconnections between existing systems would not naturally go to the WOC in advance for approval. That's only for new systems that are being acquired, right? So you mentioned as an example, Aquarion's regional pipeline. That would not normally go to the WOC for approval before going to DPH.
I am curious about those, Peter. Are these applications that would not normally go to WOC, are they kind of checked against the WOC plan? You know, the big WOC plans that you all worked on? To see if they're in the plan, are they consistent with the plan, or should the plan be amended?
I'd have to check, but I believe there's a consistency with the water supply plan in the application, but I may be confusing that with something else.
Okay. I am, because we have so many, because of the number of plans, and they should be consistent, and the process has been, to me, a little hard to follow. I would be curious if you are doing a new interconnection that's different from what's in the plan in the WOC plan for the Western region, then I would wonder, do you kind of automatically amend the plan to indicate that that change is happening or being requested?
Yeah, I'm not aware of a process that requires approval from the WOC for something that's not already described in the WOC plan.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
And Alicia, if I may, it's Corinne. When we review the diversion application for the interconnection, we do check against the water supply plan, the individual water supply plan for the utility.
Yeah, and just this is Dan. Keep in mind the water supply plans were used in development of the WOC plans. So if all goes well, you know, then if it does sync together, just in kind of maybe not the way, Margaret, you were envisioning.
So the water supply plan is, by reference, it's incorporated into the WOC integrated plan.
Okay. I have to do the raise my hand, but are the WOC plans just going to become obsolete in a year or two?
I mean, the intention is to update them, use the expression on a regular basis, and that's part of the, I think, the WOC implementation, determine how often and how, right? Just like the state water plan, how often and how, right?
It was a huge expensive effort. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so was there anything else agency related? Any of the agencies want to report on any COVID-19 changes, updates, anything this group needs to know? I think we have Corinne here from DEP, if there's anything, but I don't see anyone from DPH on the call. Or no, no.
I'm not sure what I can say. We've been functioning pretty well. The things that we would normally get, submissions that we would normally get by, you know, hard copy are being submitted electronically, and we're accepting those. With follow-ups of the hard copies. There have been some extensions of deadlines to give people a little extra time to, you know, get things in during all this chaos. But otherwise, we're functioning fairly normally.
As normal as can be right now, I'm sure. Okay, so is there anything else COVID-19 related that this group needs to hear before we move on to the next agenda item?
Hi, Alicia, it's Brenda Watson. I'm happy to share some Operation Fuel updates if you feel that that's necessary or okay.
Sure, go ahead.
So we are seeing an increase in the number of folks seeking assistance with their water utilities. So we're not turning anyone away based on income or any other, normally what would disqualify someone based on the guidelines that we have in place. In 1 week, we received about 250 Aquarion requests, which is highly irregular, but you know, it's great that people are aware of the program and are applying for it. So we're still doing some water heater replacements as well for folks who can't afford to make those internal infrastructure changes when they need it. So we're accepting applications until the end of this month, May 29th, which is actually goodness. So if anyone, if you know of anyone who is struggling with their home or home energy or water utility costs, please have them reach out to us and we'll get them the help that they need. Thank you.
Brenda, just for those who might not be familiar with what Operation Fuels does, can you just give people a just a general overview of where your funding comes from to be able to provide this assistance?
Yep, so we have a number of funding sources. Two of our most critical funding sources come from the Add a Dollar program, which is administered by 5 utility companies in the state, 2 of the largest, Eversource and UI, and 3 municipal utilities, Jouette City, Wallingford Electric, and Norwich Public Utility. And our other much larger funding source comes from a surcharge on your electric bills. It's called the Systems Benefit Charge. We receive $2.1 million from that annually. And we've been the beneficiary of a number of foundation grants as a result of COVID. So we've been pretty lucky with the amount of support that we've gotten to be very helpful to us going into our new fiscal year, which starts July 1. And then, of course, we receive corporate support as well as individual support from private funders. I mean, from individuals who are able to, you know, put in a little extra for folks who are struggling with their home energy costs. So we have a program budget of about $3 million annually on average.
Thank you, Brenda.
Hey, Alicia. It's Jack. I just want to give a shout out to Brenda and Operation Fuel. I've been involved with it for years, and recently I called Brenda about a situation in my hometown where a woman was having problems getting funding for a new furnace, and Operation Fuel stepped in and got her the money for went down to our local anti-poverty agency and made out an application, and she got the furnace and she got 500 gallons of fuel. So kudos to Operation Fuel. They do a great job.
Thank you.
Good to hear good news right now. Thank you.
Alicia, John, I'll also add the Regional Water Authority has a residential water assistance program, grants, and you know, details are on the website as far as income criteria. We've also suspended shutoffs and disconnections for non-payment for the time being.
Does anyone know what the status is of the federal action on water shutoffs and aid to water and wastewater utilities? Is there any news on that front?
So this is Brenda again. What I do know is that there was some discussion about putting additional funds into the federal LIHEAP program, which is the heating assistance program that the state received via DSS, that they were thinking about putting in some water utility relief fund money into that fund. There was some heavy disagreement by the national gas folks about that because they didn't want the two programs to get mixed up. There hasn't been any water utility response on a federal level in the same way that there's been a home heating response. So I don't know what the most recent status is of that yet, but I am monitoring it. If that money doesn't come through the federal LIHEAP program, it might come through the EPA, which is kind of what I'm hoping would happen.
so that it comes through a different state agency versus the Department of Social Services.
Thank you, Brenda.
You're welcome.
This is John Avery for Hazardville and Jewett City Water, two small private utilities. And I will say we've been, like regional, we have not been doing shutoffs for well over 2 months. We have not been doing any late charges. What we've also noticed is our customers are paying. We do not, haven't noticed a significant drop off in paying. So one, customers are not ignoring paying their bills if they can. And our Jewett City area is not exactly very affluent, and those people are still paying. So I'm kudos to the customers who still are doing business as they can. And Pura has been guiding us on the bigger picture. We try to work with our customers if they have difficulties in payment plans. And we will continue to do that. Being sensitive to, and we are aware that things may get worse for our customers in another month or two, which are mostly in Jewett City, they're monthly payers, and in Hazardville, they're quarterly payers. So there may be a delay in how our customers are dealing if they're out of work right now, for instance, that their payment ability may change right now. But so far, I'm impressed that our customers are still being very responsible about paying.
That's good news. Anything else on this topic before we move on? So the next on the agenda is the Alliance for Water Efficiency Work. We already heard an update from Virginia on this. Unless there was anything else, Josh, was there anything that else we have to report other than what Virginia?
No, I think Virginia covered everything during her piece.
Okay. So the Water Planning Advisory Group work groups, Karen and Margaret, do you want to report on the Watershed Lands Group?
Sure. I'm gonna start off and I'm going to turn it over to Margaret. Just so you know that when things settle down, we hope to pursue the lands work group interest in talking more with DPH regarding their siting of not only green energy projects, but large projects on water company land. That's kind of on the back burner now. What we'd like to talk about today, and there's really two facets of this, and that is the conveyance of land that had been approved by the state legislature. We are specifically, and I'm going to turn it over to Margaret, specifically interested in the land that had been approved, the conveyance of the land that had been approved during the special session last summer of land for economic development, aquifer protection land in the towns of Cheshire and Southington that had been conveyed, or the legislative approval had been given to convey them to the town of Cheshire. And I have to say this, if you have something that you would like studied, reviewed, information found, put Margaret on it. This woman has been dogged in trying to follow up on this. And Margaret, I'm going to put you on to give you the latest, your latest information that I think we just got this week. So Margaret, you've got the floor.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. A little diversion. I don't have a thing for raise my hand, just lower my hand. I wanted to say, which is clever, I wanted to say on the oil that my oil company, Petro, said that they had planned to cut off my oil. I had a do not deliver order. And I said, I didn't know you could do that in the, you know, with all this virus. And they said, oh, yeah, if you're more than 90 days overdue, you know, we put in a, we're not going to give you any more oil. So I agreed to pay something. Now, tracing down the Cheshire swap, which I think most of you are familiar that it was proposed in 2018, it was proposed in 2019, this was 48 acres, mostly in Cheshire, a little bit in Southington, all of it aquifer protection, came back in the special session of 2019, different number, sponsored by Joe Arasimowitz and Martin Looney. So my guess is that thanks to lots of hints, I've spoke to people at the Properties Review Board, at the Department of Transportation, at the Department of Administrative Services, and around back in a circle. But they all, they were actually, what I have learned on the status of the conveyance is that it's still at the Department of Transportation, and they had some problems involving titles and maps, and so they still have not finalized it to the point that they could give it to the Properties Review Board. Everyone said, everyone said, well, why don't you speak to the legislators? We don't want to talk to you. I said, well, the legislators are going to ask where it is, and the Water Planning Council wants to know, where is this conveyance? What's going on with it? I did write Joe Arasimowitz, I think last night, a long letter asking if explaining that we'd been looking at this for some time and we understood the background and Cheshire's situation and their aquifer protection areas and so forth, but really could he help us that the Water Planning Council had expressed some concern that perhaps this should be reviewed in some way. And would he communicate with us, you know, could we talk to him about that? And so that's where it is. I finally felt I had enough information to get in touch with the speaker that at this point, perhaps he would be helpful and not brush us off, but we will see. The more I think about it, given the health situation we have now, the less advisable it seems to convey without greater protections all this aquifer protection land. That's where we are. And then Karen, you've been following up on the general issue of how do we flag this kind of conveyance for legislators so they know what they're voting on. When they decide to give away a reservoir, you know, the little red flag pops up and says, wait a minute, look at this twice. So I know you've been working on that.
Well, that's absolutely the case. What, you know, as someone said, we are not here to say don't do any conveyances. What we want to make certain is that legislators have all the information necessary to make an appropriate decision. Right. So when we, and thanks to Eric Hammerling, this group has received, you know, two pieces of information. One are the questions that exist on the current questionnaire that a legislator must fill out in order to request a conveyance. That was sent out. Bruce was good enough also to send out again yesterday. Margaret and I, when we reviewed it, we had some ideas that we felt would be very helpful to add additional necessary information for legislators. And to be very honest with you, the first one was, is part of the property in an aquifer protection area? Is it in the drinking water watershed? None of those specific questions are in the current existing questionnaire. So what we hope to do, if we can't do it all today or finalize it today, we would like to get input from the Water Planning Advisory Group and people who have participated in the Watershed Lands Group, who receive copies of these emails, their ideas on the questionnaire. Are there any questions that should be added, deleted, you know, clarifications included? When we get that, I know Jack Butkowski is on the phone, and he had so graciously at the last meeting said that he would have his staff, you know, look at this questionnaire once we came up with suggestions. So I really don't know the easiest way to do this. You know, I don't intend to go over question by question, but I think what I'd like to do is you have the existing questionnaire. And rather than start from scratch, we have that. And is there anything that this group feels should be added that would help clarify the situation in order to give information, one, primarily to legislators, and two, just for the stakeholders or anyone involved in the process before a vote like this takes place? Because I think our other concern was what happened last session was that the bill had not passed during regular session and came up with another bill number, and it was just... Yep. Just got approved. So
Garrick, would it take too much time? Well, or Alicia, how much time would it take just to read the questions we have?
Well, I think maybe a better approach for those who had a chance to look at them, if they have any questions of you and Karen now, and then to have everybody send in written comments, and then we can put something together for the next meeting. I think that it's probably a good idea to send it to you, to Karen and Margaret, copy myself and Josh on any comments you have on the questions, either the current questionnaire or the questions that Karen and Margaret put together.
So would it be, I know that Jack has an interest in this issue, would it be inappropriate to try to get his input now, or should we wait till we have all the comments from members?
You know, it's Jack. I want to make sure my attorneys and Gail and Kathy and I, well, I'll take a look at it and we come back with an appropriate answer for you.
We better wait.
I want to make sure we're giving the absolute right answer. Let us do that, please.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, yeah. So then we're going to hold off on people sending comments.
No, they can send comments, but we're not going to show anything to Jack until, that's my understanding, until the whole group has decided on what the questions are.
Let me just ask a question. Jack, I believe you got what was circulated for this meeting, which was the questions that are on the current questionnaire that legislators fill out, and then the list of comments and questions that Margaret and I put together. Is that correct?
I believe I do have that, yes.
If I
don't, you will know.
So if you could give us your comments, and you know, I think I would like to hear what the group has to say, but I'd also very much like to hear what Pierre has to say about this.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
This is John. I think I said this last meeting, but I think this process could really lend itself to a kind of online interactive map where people could actually go to and see all the layers they need to know what's on their property and how to answer the questions. I plan to take a crack at creating a mock-up of that on RGS Online and sending it out as a link that people can look at. But I think all the layers are pretty much, you know, most of the layers are pretty much publicly available. So I'd be willing to do that.
Hey, John, this is Aaron Boudreaux. So I was just looking at the questions, and it seems like just about everything is already up on CT Eco's advanced viewer. So you sort of click on those layers. You can click on aquifer protection areas. I don't think they have drinking water sources up there, but I think that's the only one that wasn't up there.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I think, yeah, except for the drinking water watersheds, and they have all of them, but it's a little bit, for someone who's not used to using it, it may be a little cluttered. So I think maybe another map that could be made that's more direct could be helpful. But
I think that's good. I would like to just bring Eric Hammerling in this conversation. And on defense of the questionnaire, I believe, and Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, the current questionnaire has been in use for quite a while.
That's true. Several years. It's been modified a little bit over time. And I think a lot of the suggested questions that Karen and Margaret put forward, I think are very good additions to what's in the current. I mean, it's amazing that the current application doesn't include information on the current use of the property. Some really basic things like that. So this is, I think, an excellent effort. I would just encourage people to, to the extent that a deadline can be set for input and a process can be started with either Margaret or Karen, starting essentially a negotiation with the GAE committee on their use of this, the better, because this is typically sent out in January. So, we would want to make sure to provide some input way in advance of that so that they could be ready. I have a slight hesitation on getting too nifty with some of the online information as a part of this, because just keeping in mind the users, and I think it's good to mention that information is available, but if we think about a need to have a tool to be able to review the information and see it, that may be beyond their capacity. But anyway, I think it's really good to ask the questions and get the process started. So I appreciate all that Margaret and Karen have put into this.
Just quickly, from a municipal perspective, most of the properties are being transferred from the state to a municipality. And when something like this comes into a municipality, they just ask the land use staff to fill it out for them. So it wouldn't be a burden. Any legislator that's submitting legislation saying we want to have a transfer, that's when the town submits that to them, and the towns all have access. So I think it's good to be able to point it out, but for the most part, you know, most of the towns and or regional planning agencies can handle this for a town that's looking to have a transfer.
Yeah, and to be clear, Denise, you're absolutely right. I'm not thinking about the capacity of towns to respond to those questions. I'm thinking about the capacity of legislators and committees to be able to understand how to look at that information in a useful way. So if we could somehow get something that both answers the key questions and does it as simply as possible for everybody, that's going to be the best end result.
Yeah, yes, I understand. I was just looking at that someone thought maybe the legislator that was proposing it was going to have to fill this out, and that's not the case. It would be, that said, having information available to the legislative team, although I would think their staff would be the people who would be using it, not necessarily the legislator themselves.
When you mentioned a deadline, I think that would be good. Margaret, I guess Alicia, Josh, what do you think about this group could get comments back to us within a week, 10 days at the latest? I mean, since you're not running around going to a
how about by the end of this week? Because the questions have been out for a couple of weeks already, out with the group.
Well, this is Jeff. I mean, I'd like at least to get after the Memorial Day weekend to get this. Maybe by May 30th would be, May 31st would be a good deadline, so I can get my people to take a look at it.
I think that's good. Margaret, any comment?
Nope.
I think that's good. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you.
All right.
That's it.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Margaret.
Stay tuned till next month.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is the Conservation Pricing and Rate Recovery Analysis Work Group. We didn't move forward on that yet because we were waiting to see how Marianne Dickinson was going to proceed. And our original plan, as I explained at the last meeting, was to wait for the for her to do her work with the utilities and the workshop she wanted to do, but now we're looking at that possibly not happening until March. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is put the group together. So if Marianne needs anything from us before then, that we would be ready to get something done. So I think now that we have the new website, the best thing to do is to send an email out, put the proposal on the website, a link to the proposal, and then anybody who's interested in participating in it can contact me, and I'll put you on a list. And then nothing's going to happen too soon. So don't worry if you put your name on it, that there's a lot of work in the next couple weeks. So we're going to move forward in that manner unless anybody has any concerns or comments.
I have a question, Lisa.
Sure.
As we've mentioned before, one of the issues with all of the work that we're doing is that a lot of the same people are showing up in a lot of the different committees. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not directly related to the state water plan, I'm wondering if you have any sense of the time frame on the governor's, what are the three C's, Commission on Climate Change, in terms of whether, if that's going to be ending anywhere near its original date of like the end of the summer, that might be a good time to start up another work group because some of those same people might be participating in the work group and would be more freed up at that point. Just something to think about. You don't need to answer it now.
I suppose you could look at it that way, but I think there are a lot of people who might not be participating in the same. And like I said, I don't see that being a very heavy workload, even in the next month. So, and I kind of hope that we have a little bit more time on the GC3 considering everything that's going on.
Yeah.
However, I hope that a good portion of that work is wrapped up by July. I don't think the beginning of June is as feasible as it once seemed before all of this happened. So,
and I do want to say thank you for the thought that this group could be support to the work that Marianne's doing. I think that could be very beneficial. When it comes to that workshop, though, clearly she would be taking the lead on it and the group
absolutely
supporting her.
Absolutely. But it's thank you. Anything else? Fred, I saw you on mute. Did you have a...
I was just going to request that we make sure that when things are posted, they also get circulated by email to the group, just in case we miss the post.
Yes. There will be a link in an email for sure.
Okay. Yep. Thanks.
Sure. So that brings us to the other new work group that I had proposed. I don't think I brought it to this group yet, but the proposal went around. This is something we talked about around the time of the San Jose Connecticut Water Company merger. To form a group to take a look at, and I believe this might have come from at the direction of the Water Planning Council at a meeting, to form a group to look at what are our state's goals for what makeup do we want in Connecticut of water utilities, and what are the challenges and the opportunities to actually meet some of those goals, and that this is being the goals being, you know, from the agencies, the utilities themselves, because, you know, especially now. With this whole thing with COVID-19 and, you know, revenue issues, we don't know what's coming down the pike. And we don't know, it would be good to sort of really start thinking about this now. So nobody's surprised by anything going forward. And also so we can all work together when we find ourselves in a situation where there may be, you know, a controversial, it could go a lot of different ways. There could be a controversial proposal from one of the agencies that the utilities have to take over a smaller utility or a community system. You know, there could be another large merger that's very controversial. And there's a lot of things we didn't flesh out and we haven't talked about in terms of state water planning on that front. So I created this proposal to get a group together to start this conversation. And I don't know if anybody's had a chance to look at the proposal and its purpose. The scope still needs to be fleshed out. So I guess what I'll do is, you know, this is not something I don't think we're going to vote on today. I thought we can have a brief discussion and then come back around to this at the June meeting. Is there anyone who's had a chance to look at it, has any questions, comments, concerns?
Hey, Alicia, this is Dan. I actually haven't had a chance to look at it, but would like to.
Sure.
But obviously would like to be involved if we were to move forward. Can you resend that around so that we can all remember what we're supposed to do?
Sure. Yep.
Didn't it come out with the agenda when the agenda came out?
Oh, it did? Okay.
It was with the agenda in a minute.
All right.
You might have had to scroll down.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. I'll look for it.
Alicia, this is Margaret. I thank you for raising this. I think it's been glaringly obvious that we need this for a long time. DPH says we have whatever it is, almost 3,000 water companies. And so, okay, what do you want? You know, what should we do about that? And it's sort of an ad hoc response. So thank you for going back to this issue. And I hope I'll be able to work on it too.
This discussion has made me think of something else, which is related but somewhat different. And maybe this certainly would be interested in hearing Jack's input to this comment, because we see in the newspaper every day the cracks in our health system that have been exacerbated by this COVID-19 pandemic. At some point in the future, it might be interesting if some group, as I say, I don't know if it's necessarily the Water Planning Council, if it's one of the agencies, if it's the legislature, it's who knows whom, were to look at the any cracks in the whole water system that have been shown to be significant because of the virus. And some of that could relate to what you were just saying in terms of the multiplicity of different water companies. We heard earlier in terms of some of the ways that the water industry is addressing concerns of people being able to pay their bills and these types of things. But it might be worth at some point having a group look to see, find lessons learned about the water industry. And I don't mean just industries, but the whole water system in the state that have been exposed because of this virus.
Hey, Virginia, this is Dan. We obviously talk to water companies all the time, small, large. In discussion, and there's definitely on the small side revenue issues. I mean, if you only have 50 customers and you have something to do, people are not doing things they should be doing, not implementing things. And that's a real risk. If you didn't remember in the WUC, we had DPH gave us the scorecard, so we could also look at that and the other with what Alicia was talking about when you look at trying to categorize what the issues are and you know, sizes and things like that. But there's definitely, I think, going to be a ripple on the small water side. You have 40 customers and you're trying to pay 12 grand to an operator a year. Sometimes that doesn't even happen. And that's the biggest challenge, I think, there is, let alone some of the ones that may be municipally owned. And depending what happens with taxes, that could be very, very challenging.
And if you have 40 customers and 15 of those are having trouble paying their bills, that just exacerbates the situation. But as you mentioned earlier, you were somebody else that people were seemed to be, I guess it was John Avery, that people seemed to be still paying their bills. But, you know, yeah, all these kinds of things, I think it would be worth using this as an opportunity. We're stressing all our systems at the moment. What strengths can we find? And how might we want to do things differently in the future?
I think all of this just really highlights what a lot of us have been saying for a long time. What Gina McCarthy said years ago is that we have, you know, billions of dollars in infrastructure work, in investment. We need to invest in that infrastructure, and it can't be all on the backs of the ratepayers. And that's so we are doing things in the water planning process to look at this, and the work that Alliance for Water Efficiency is doing, in you know, some of the work some of the other groups are doing on some of the sort of side angles of that. But it just comes down to, you know, we have to find a way to fund and repair this infrastructure, because that's what it's all about. It's being able to get the water to people, clean, affordable water. And, you know, when it all depends completely on revenue from the ratepayers, we're going to continue to find ourselves in a position where we're trying to, you know, we're pretty much putting our thumb in a hole of a big crack. So I think this just really, really highlights that.
Alicia, it's Jack. As you know, I've been around a long time. I'm going to be starting my 23rd year as a commissioner, and we've been talking about this for a very long time. And I have to say, since I came, when I came in 1997, we had about 30 private regulated water companies in the state. We have about 10 that are private, because many companies, Aquarian, Connecticut Water, Haskell, others have taken up some of those other companies. I can't agree with you more in terms of that we really have to get the government to step up. We have spent billions on energy in this state. And, you know, water, as you know, tends to take the back seat. And I just think we have to, and we have a great group here that's been out, and I sound like a broken record in terms of educating the legislature. Think nothing of a stroke of a pen of putting $250 million into our conservation low management program in the state of Connecticut. We ought to start looking at the water supply. And we, and Dan said it well, I get more gray hair than I have over these small water systems that come and say, okay, DPH, okay, Aquarian, okay, Public Utility Regulatory Authority, we don't want to be in the business anymore. Here are the keys, figure it out. So then you have legislators calling you saying, what are we going to do with ABC Company in the Northwest Connecticut? Oh, it's only going to cost about $3 million to put an interconnection in it, and we have about 15 customers. It's a huge issue. I'm very passionate about it. I work with you to educate our legislators to get more funding available on the state and on the federal level. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. John Avery, two small privates. I'm interested in this work group. Has it started? Have you started meeting?
No. I've just put a draft proposal out for everyone to react to.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the proposal. Anybody who's had a chance to look at it and has questions now, you can ask the questions now. We will come back around at the next meeting and discuss this further. If we're ready to modify, and if everybody's pleased with the proposal and how the group can move forward, this group will approve the proposal to go to the Water Planning Council for the Water Planning Council's input for them to approve, and then we will populate the group.
Okay. Yeah.
Similar to the conservation one, an email will go out. We'll put the proposal on the website so people know what they're getting into and what the group should be doing.
I believe Connecticut is unique in the states. And I think Jack would probably agree with us that we have a tradition of private ownership of water utilities in Connecticut. It's not true of many other states. And I think that having public ownership of munis and private ownership and various combinations provides a lot of different economic models that can be used. And I think that variety makes us a stronger state politically, and with more choice for ultimately the legislature and each group of citizenry. So I think that's what I'm interested in, is making sure that we continue to have choice and that our citizenry can solve their problems in a variety of ways, so it's catering to each area and that each area can get it done the way they want to get it done.
Sure, thank you. So we're not going to flesh out the report today. Okay. I just want to make sure that the items in the proposal are acceptable. I'm asking for input for items into as far as the purpose and the scope go in the proposal.
Okay.
So those are the two items I'm most interested in fleshing out before the next meeting.
All right. You can put me down as interested.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? All right. Is there any new business? Anything Josh and I missed? Any public comments?
Alicia, this is Denise. We've talked about it a little bit, obviously, with the GC3, the Governor's Climate Council on Climate Change, and the work that's going on. But I really think there's a coordination with the state water plan and with the work of the Water Planning Council and whatever that's not necessarily being looked at. I mean, if you and I weren't on the work groups we're on, I happen to be serving on the wetlands, and Alicia is on the rivers that's now taking in inland waters. There's not really a group on water per se. I think that it is probably being handled a little bit under the public health, but they've got all of the public health, not just the water issue to deal with. And I just want to, I'm not sure exactly how we make sure, but the nexus between the climate change and the energy issues and the water, as I've said before, is so critical. And, you know, just to be looking at it, to take away the energy lens and make sure we're putting in this bigger lens. So I'm just putting it out there that I'm not sure how our group should make sure that the work is moving forward. But even if we are just letting people know about the various topics that are being talked about and that people should be paying attention to this, because I think a lot of times when people think about, you know, like the Governance Council on Climate Change, they're only thinking about the energy mitigation piece, and this particular plan finally is looking at other topics. They're looking at the adaptation, they're looking at resiliency, so they're looking at a lot of other issues. And Brenda, I didn't mean to forget you because you're on that as well. So, but there's a whole host of, you know, so we're bringing that to the table, but I don't see the bigger water planning folk arena being there, including some of the, you know, like people from DEEP and whatever, who are all involved in water. So I'm just bringing that out there because I think that there seems like there's a disconnect to me on how the state water plan and then the climate change plan is going to fit together. So I'm just putting that out there that I think it's something we should make sure happens, and I don't know how, but I think it's something we should be definitely looking at as we move forward.
Just a couple. Really, hold on 1 second, Virginia. It's really unfortunate that in the governor's executive order, he asked the lead agencies on the plans to have a list of items that pertain to climate change by the end of this year. It would have been nice to have those things before all of the subgroups were doing their work. You know, not just from the state water plan, but from the green plan and the recreation plan and the blue plan and all of these other things. Because the subgroups are going to end up doing this work, as you're probably doing in wetlands, is pulling out a lot of those implementation items where you can say, we've already identified that this needs to get done. It's very unfortunate that wasn't, I feel like we might've put the cart before the horse, there. So I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I'm particularly looking at, for example, from a water conservation perspective, the energy. So a big water user is wastewater treatment. And we know that the less water we send to wastewater treatment, the better it is. So how does that, you know, look into, you know, water use? That's just one example, but there's so much there. And then the whole land use issue that we're talking about in terms of the relationship with, for example, you know, protecting soils, protecting wetlands from a carbon sequestration. Well, that's all good for water quality also. So there's multiple benefits. And, you know, the ecosystem services of a lot of what's, you know, being talked about
we're not talking about it in terms of public drinking water supply or in terms of water resources enough. And if we don't bring that in, so I'm just putting that out there that there's a lot of implications there. And when I sit on the energy mitigation group, I'm not hearing the discussion about, you know, drinking water per se. So just putting that out there in terms of what we need to do. Yes, you are. You know, we are in wetlands too. But it's one of those things like if our voices weren't there, we happen to be on those groups for a different reason. But I'm just saying, it's like, well, doesn't that mean that the Water Planning Council and the State Water Plan should be part of this? Because we're not there we weren't asked to be on those groups representing the Water Planning Council Advisory Group. We just happen to be on both.
Mm-hmm. So, Virginia, hold on. Virginia's next, then you, Margaret.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry.
Just following up on a little bit on that, as you all know, the implementation work group has been looking at implementation and of the state water plan and creating various topical subgroups. And as we were discussing what additional topical subgroups we should be looking at, I reached out to several people, and over the last couple of weeks I've had email or phone exchanges with Len DeYoung, Kurt Westfall, and Joe LaLiberte. Kirk and Joe, having been part of the CDM Smith team that did the state water plan, asking them for any thoughts that they might have on implementation, not only topically, but also what kinds of things have worked in other states from their experience working in other states, and when they've been hired to do the implementation, what kinds of efforts it was, you know, just general this kind of information. And in those discussions, clearly we were talking about climate change and the intersection of climate change and the state water plan. And then in talking more with Dave Radka, we backed away from having climate change be the focus of a topical subgroup under the implementation group because of the work that was going on with the governors, with GC3. But one of the things that we acknowledged in this conversation I've had with various people is that a lot of what's coming out of the G3C work is appropriately policy related. And that affects the state water plan, or it intersects with the state water plan, but also that there's a need for some science about climate change that were part of the recommendations from the state water plan. And we felt that it would be efficient to use the work coming out of the GC3 process as a basis to jumping into some of the more scientific modeling and that type of thing that might have to happen to get a sense of the effect of climate change on, you could put this cart before this horse or the horse before the cart 50 different ways. But because that was an ongoing process, we made the explicit decision to pause and see how that played out before taking it on as a topic of discussion. Obviously, the intersections are huge and we need to be aware of them all the time.
I appreciate that, Virginia. One of the things I'm seeing, however, is that I think as we go forward and there are going to be public hearings and whatever on it, I think that whether it be the Water Planning Council Advisory Group or the Implementation Work Group, there needs to be folks ready to review the plans that come out and say, how does this fit in or not fit in? So, for example, if there's a policy, does that make sense from a state water plan? If there's a policy recommendation, does it make sense from a Implementation Work Group? You know, in terms of that state water plan. So that's what I'm looking at. It's not necessarily to jump on board or change anything, but I think the fact that, for example, Alicia's had to incorporate into her group, was called Rivers, and she had to incorporate all inland waters into her work group. And same thing, our work group is Wetlands, and they were really looking at tidal wetlands, not necessarily inland wetlands. Now they're doing both, but no one put Long Island Sound anywhere in there. So now we're looking at coastal waters as well. So there was the way that they divided up the workload, it wasn't necessarily all there. So it's a matter of making sure that, if you don't have certain people at the table, it's not being looked at. So I'm just putting it out there that I wouldn't assume it's being covered unless Alicia and I and a few others are pushing it.
I want to also get to Margaret. Margaret Tutter, her hand dutifully raised over there. It's yep. getting tired, isn't it, Margaret?
No, I just raised the other one. So you can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. As you know, as some may know, I've been complaining when climate change comments are available, and I think there's no way we're going to get adequate treatment of water, given that it's fragmented in all these different groups. And we haven't even discussed some of the things aren't really in the water plan, some of the energy implications, including hydropower, burning up forests in headwaters to create energy. So I think water appears in perhaps almost every group, maybe 80% of the groups. I'm thinking that we need to advocate for something on the lines of an auxiliary report on water. To make things confusing for the chairman, they've been told, we don't want redundancy. Well, I think I said at one meeting, I am counting on redundancy. I'm counting on every group that has anything to do with water to say, to highlight the water implications. But that's really unreasonable. An example is in the forestry group. It's important that they focus on the sequestration, carbon sequestration function of trees and plants. That obviously is extremely important where they are. And water, you know, the role of forests in protecting water is secondary. But what's second or third in every group needs to be pulled together. So I think we need to be impatient about it and maybe advocate for an auxiliary report as close as possible to whatever are the reports and recommendations coming out of the climate groups, because it's everybody working in those groups has had the same kind of concern that Denise and Virginia and Alicia, you raise it all the time, has that water is not being treated in a logical or realistic way.
Can I just ask you, are all of the agencies that are represented on the Water Planning Council included in the GC3 some way? We know DPH is, right? Do they have?
I know. Yes. The answer is yes. I know DPH. We are, and then I'm sure OPM is as well.
Okay.
Anything else under public comment? All right. So. The next Water Planning Council is June 2nd. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is.
All right, excellent. Our next meeting will be June 16th. I don't think we'll be doing in-person meetings by then, but if we are, it would be great to see you all and your actual people. But if not, we will be doing it via Zoom again. We don't have much of a choice. The implementation work group will be meeting beforehand as usual, I assume, Virginia. On the 16th. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order before we sign off?
Nice meeting.
Thanks, Margaret.
Good Thank job. You. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.